you have your Bibles, you can open up to Matthew chapter 20. Now, I need you all to know that I did you a favor today, okay? By something I didn't do. See, yesterday we had a really good memorial service for Ron Olson. We were packed in here, and the family made a request that everyone who comes to wear their Wisconsin colors. So we had Brewers, we had Badgers, and then we had that other team that there. I don't think I've ever seen more green and gold in this place. And so this morning I woke up and I do have a bit of a headache. Maybe I'll blame it on that. I'm not sure. And I was tempted, you know, to try to counter that a little bit by wearing, you know, some purple. Thank you. Wearing a little bit of purple, but I thought, no, today's not the day. So I did you guys a favor by not wearing that color. See, isn't that great? Isn't that nice of me not doing? But yesterday's service was really, really, really wonderful and special. So we had a good time. I wore my Brewer stuff. So, yes, I do have some Wisconsin colors. So if you have your Bibles, open up to Matthew chapter 20. We're going to be reading quite a bit here, verses 1 through 16. So Matthew, it's the first book of the New Testament. You open up your Bibles, typically you find yourself in Psalms, move to the right, about 10, 12 books, and you'll get to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We're looking at Matthew chapter 20, 1 through 16. I'll be reading out of the New King James Version. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. Now when he had agreed with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into the vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace and said to them, you also get into the vineyard and whatever is right I will give you. So they went. Verse 6. Again he went out about the sixth hour and the ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle and said to them, why have you been standing here idle all day? They said to him, because no one has hired us. He said to them, you also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right you will receive. So when evening had come, and the owner of the vineyard said to his steward, call the laborers and give them their wages, beginning with the last to the first. And with those who were hired about the 11th hour, they each received a denarius. But when the first came, they supposed that they would receive more, and they likewise received each a denarius. And when they had received it, they complained against the landowner, saying, these last men have only worked 1 hour, and you made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, friend, I'm doing you no wrong. Did you not agree for me for a denarius? Take what is yours and go your way. I wish to give the last man the same as you. Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with my own things? Or is your eye evil because I am good? So the last will be first, and the first will be last. For many are called, but few chosen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, Lord, that there is so much truth in here. Lord, whether we are reading this story for the first time or the 101st time, Lord, there is truth that you want to pull out. And I pray this day, Lord, you would desire to do a work in our hearts. So I pray, Lord, that you reveal the scripture to us. Let your words be spoken. Let your truth be revealed. I pray that we can take it and apply it to our lives, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. So it is, you know, the week of Christmas, and I'm feeling really, really generous, okay? So I have a gift for you, okay? I worked really hard on this, so I'm going to need some help here. Rick, if you would, this section here. Give everyone one of those, okay? The individuals here. You do me a favor. Hand out one of those to everyone. Wow. What a great and wonderful gift here, Matt, if you would. Hand one of those out to your section. Hand one of those out to your section. All right. Wow. So you all are receiving a penny. Isn't that nice? Okay, So I know there's debates on versions of the Bible, right? We got our classic King Jamers, right? Any King Jamesers in here? Okay, and then you got your NIVs, New King James. We've got New Living Translation, the Message sort of thing. Today, I think I'm, for the first time, siding with the King James Version. Because if you read the King James Version, if you have that in verse 2, it says, he paid them a penny. One penny. All right. Anybody have the Message in here? I don't like the Message today. Because it says a dollar, okay? All right. Sorry, you know, I was feeling generous, but not that generous, okay? And for your service, well, actually, we got to keep to the, I was going to pay the guys the rest, but I probably should take back whatever's left over there. Everybody have a penny? Yeah, that works. Sit right there. One penny. What a gift. Everyone good? Yeah. Thank you. You get one? You got one? All right. Nice. Some of you guys are like, wait, maybe there's a special one in there. Like, maybe there's one that's, you know, from the... Thank you very much. All right. Cool. All right, hang on to that. Wonderful. Oh, yeah. All right, you can hang on to those. I do have a point with that, if you can believe that. But, you know, other than just being a really generous person today. So we want to dig into the scripture. And we are nearing the close of 2018. Moving into 2019. And there is a subject here. There's many subjects in the scripture. But one of it is time. We are fixated on time. Many of us, it's on our wrist, it's in our pocket with our phone, it's on a wall. We look at time, and last week we talked a little bit about time with Mary, and that was God's view is the fullness of time, which in our mind that means not yet. But in God's eyes, he doesn't follow a watch. He looks for the right moments. But we fixate on time. We don't have enough time. Sometimes we have too much time. That's called boredom. Or sometimes that's called patience, where we have to wait. God, why do you make me wait? Time. And then we look at time sometimes of what is it worth? What is your time worth? Is it worth more or less than the person to your right or left? Is your time worth more or less at different times of the day, different times of the week? We are fixated on time. And we look ahead and we look back. We look through the eyes of time. And so here, 2018's coming to an end. And maybe some of us, maybe a few of us, were like, oh, best year ever. I wish I could do that again. Or maybe most of us are like, good riddance. I am glad that year is over. And we look ahead. We looked either to the conclusion of a chapter because we're waiting for it to get over, or we're looking for the beginning of a new chapter. We're looking for something new and different. Okay, next year. Next year is going to be better. Next year is going to be greater. Next year, everything's going to be right. I'm going to do stuff. Time. So as we look at the scripture, we want to see how it applies. Now, there's a few principles into it. It is talking of the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. So there is a basic principle here, and what God is looking for is workers to go into the harvest and to share and to love so that those that have not heard the message, the gospel, the truth, can hear. And he needs workers to do that, so he sends them out at different stages of the day. And typically we look at the 11th hour, the last time he goes out, typically is the Gentiles. So Jesus came and he preached to the Jews. And after he died and was resurrected again, then the missions work kind of took place. And the Apostle Paul, he goes out and he preaches to the Gentiles in the 11th hour. And the Jewish people are like, well, these people are lesser. They don't deserve what we have. And God is trying to reveal a principle here of no, everyone. Everyone receives their pay. And so this message is called the 11th hour. Many of us, we live personally in the 11th hour, if you know what I mean. Are you the procrastinator? Do you put things off? Maybe when you're going through high school and college, you were that person that did the paper at like midnight the night before, because I got my most of my inspiration at the last minute, right? That was the excuse you told yourself. Otherwise called procrastinating, putting it off sort of thing. The 11th hour, it's where we live. We put things off. Anybody make a commitment at the beginning of this year about, something like exercise? You put it off. Okay, yeah. I think we probably all, maybe a couple stuck to it. How about finances? This year, I'm going to save. This year, I'm going to take care of my credit card debt. This year, okay, we're going to make changes now. We're in the 11th hour. This is the year. How about your family? How about your marriage? Sometimes there's commitments that we're going to make. We're going to make some change. We're going to do things better. And yet we put it off. Because we always think there's a little more time. So what hour do you live in? We can do a quick little test here, okay? All right, we're going to see what hour we are in or what hour we are not in. So I want you to repeat after me. All right, did anyone not get a breath? Anybody need resuscitation? Okay, are we all alive here? All right, you are not in the 12th hour. Good. We're not at the end, okay? And that's what the scripture is about. It's really talking about when the kingdom of heaven, when God comes, when Jesus returns, and it's all said and done. That's the last hour. None of us here are in the last hour. So somewhere, we're somewhere in the middle. We're not in hour 12, so we're anywhere's first hour to 11th hour. So the good news is it's not over, all right? You're not gone. I can work with that. I think God can work with that, okay? So is there a difference? Is there a difference in what hour we're in? Okay, we're not at the end. The story's not over. The final chapter has not been written. So we're somewhere from 1 to 11. Is there a difference? You see, I believe that the first hour in this story, if it can be described to us, is those people that have received the Word of God, have received the gospel, and they've done something with it. That's the first hour. But the landowner, he goes out on the 3rd, the 6th, the 9th, the 11th, and he tries to find more people. People that would have received. Maybe they heard the message, but they didn't believe the message. Those are the 3rd hour and the 6th hour people. So what hour are we in? So the landowner is out there. He's looking for workers. So we want to go through this scripture. We want to look at some points. And the first point here is we need to know that there is work to be done. The landowner goes into the marketplace looking for people because he's got a field that needs laborers. You need to know in the kingdom of God, there is work to be done. I don't think there's ever not work to be done. There is work to be done. Luke chapter 10, verse 2. Then he said to them, "The harvest is truly great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers in the harvest." The harvest is truly great. There is a lot of work. There is a ton of work to be done. I'm going to have some fun here. I'm going to make up some statistics, okay? Anyways, 92% of all statistics are made up, right? Or 90, 91%, something like that. I'm going to make up some statistics, okay? Let's say in America, 64% believe that they are Christians, okay? Does that sound somewhat reasonable? People just claim, well, I'm a part of a Christian nation, so I'm a Christian, 64%. I would guess, making this up completely, maybe half of that, 32%, go to church. Maybe read the Bible from time to time. All right? But maybe even half of that, 16%, 12 to 16%, actually have like a real relationship with Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior of their life. Okay? 12, 15%. If we got roughly 273 million people in America, that's about 50 million or so that are saved. Which means, again, making it up, but maybe it sounds reasonable. Maybe there's 220 million people in America that don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. There is work to be done. Right? Maybe my numbers are off, but I think you get the point. There are more that don't know Christ than do, and that's just in America. There is work to be done. I don't think that number is coming down, but that's God's goal, to bring that number down. There is work to be done. Okay, some real statistics. I believe it's anywhere from 700,000 to a million abortions occur in America a year. There is work to be done. There are people that don't understand the importance of life and what it means. There are children that need a loving, adoptive mother and father. There is work to be done. Anywhere from 500,000 to 1.5 million people are homeless in America. They don't have a roof. Maybe they don't get meals. There is work to be done. 12% of America lives in poverty. That's about 40 million people don't have enough. In Barron County, that percentage is 13.1. Wisconsin's average is 11.3. In Barron County alone, our percentage is greater. There are people living in poverty. There are people in need. There are people that need meals. They need clothing. There is work to be done. There are 12 million single-parent families in America. Anybody getting cheered up with these numbers? Okay. All right. Let's smile. Let's take a breath. Okay. I'm not in the 12th hour yet. Okay. There is work to be done. Can we agree upon that? That there is work to be done. And that's just America. God doesn't just look at our zip code and our driver's license and, okay, you work in that area. No. There is people all across the globe living in poverty. Single family. There are abortions. There is the gospel that needs to be preached to all people. There is work to be done. There's no lack of work. So God, He knows these statistics. Whether I made them up or not, He knows the exact ones. And in His mind, He can see the need. And He knows how to solve the need. He sent His Son. He sent Jesus Christ. We receive that, and then we hang on to it. God says, no, I need you to go into the field. I need you to work. Second point, do not be idle. In our reading, the word is there about 3 or 4 times. Why are you idle? Why are you not doing anything? Okay? You guys prepared? I gave you a gift. Okay, that's a little bit of bribery sort of thing. Point number 2, I'm going to step on your toes a little bit. Okay? So prepare yourselves. Take that breath. It's not the end. It's not going to hurt too bad. But do not be idle. It is a warning over and over again. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22. Does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice. To heed is better than the fat of rams. God gave us a command, not a suggestion, to go into all the world and make disciples. He is looking for obedience. He's looking for people going, I have no idea what I'm doing, God, but I'm willing to go. God, I want to serve. God, I got time. I got things I can give. God, I want to go. And God goes, yes, come into the field. Let's work. Do not be idle. So the landowner, he goes back into the city. He goes back to the marketplace. Why did he go back? Did he all of a sudden realize, oh, I miscalculated. I got more work than I originally thought. Did a servant run up to him and say, Master, Master, you forgot about our fields in Polk County. Oh, yeah, I completely forgot about that. Did God forget about the amount of work to be done? No. He knows exactly how much work is to be done. Why did he go back into the city? Why did he need more workers? Well, I can think of two reasons. Maybe there's more, but I can think of two reasons. He goes back into the city because there's not enough workers. He goes into the marketplace and says, all right, I was here a couple hours ago. Oh, there's some more people here. I need you to come. I need you to come and work. I need more workers to accomplish what I have. And some of these people, and he asked, why are you still here? Why aren't you working? Well, nobody told me. You know, in America, pretty much everyone has heard the name Jesus. It's the most common Bible. I might make it up again, but somewhere it's stored in there. There's like the most common book. The Bible is, there's like anywhere between 3 and 5 in every single household in America, whether we read it or not. Jesus has been preached. And yet people go, well, I haven't been told. Well, you have. You've heard. Well, let me tell you some more. Let me explain it to you. The message is preached. Some people are in there going, I didn't know. People, they don't go to church. They don't hear the message, right? Because if we're not out there sharing the message in the marketplace, and they're not coming in here, they're not getting the full story. So he goes and he's looking for, and some people they just ignore. Maybe some of us in here, we ignored the first time we heard the gospel. We heard the truth. We put it off. We didn't listen. And then as time went on, we yielded to it. These are the 3rd hour and the 6th hour and the 9th hour people. So he goes in the city because he needs more workers. That could be one reason why he goes into the city, goes into the marketplace. But there's a second reason. It could be another reason why he had to go back in the city. All right, hopefully you're wearing your steel-toed boots because I'm going to step on them. Because the workers that he hired aren't working hard enough. They're not lifting their end of the deal. They're a little relaxed. They're not efficient. The workers that he already brought in, they too could be idle. There's a message here. And there's people out there that never heard it. They're not in church, so they don't hear the message. You all, I think, are in this church right now. Yes, yes, you all are here this morning. You've heard the message. Maybe for the first, second time. Or maybe for the 100th, the 200th time. The message has been into your ears. And yet sometimes our work ethic at home, at our job, in the kingdom, kind of relaxes a bit. Tell me about 2 o'clock in the afternoon at your job. That's a great hour, isn't it? Because you're full of life and energy, right? I think 1-2 o'clock is horrible. You get up in the morning, you get enough caffeine in your system, and you're good to go from 8 to about 11, right? And then you start dragging off. Hopefully you get more caffeine, or you get a meal. And you perk up for a little bit. Then an hour after your meal, you get sluggish. 2 o'clock. And now you're starting to look for 4 o'clock, right? Sometimes when we've been at it, our energy wanes. And that's true in the kingdom. Sometimes we've been at this thing for a long time. So I'm talking to those that have received the truth. Are you doing the work? And I'm talking to myself. Because I'm a first hour, okay? First hour, am I making up words? That's okay. First hour, okay? I receive the truth. I grew up in a Christian family. I received Christ at 8 years old. I heard a calling from God to be a pastor. And I know not everyone has that same calling, but to do something. He's called us all to do something. He just puts us in different areas. At 18, I received that word. I wasn't a pastor until about 12 years later. I've been at this for a while. I have been at this for a while. And I've had my ups and I've had my downs. And I've had my, why God? Why do I have to do that? Why do I have to do this? Why do I have to preach one more message? Why do I have to go to one more practice? Why do I have to organize? Why do I have to be a part of one more meeting? Why do I have to go talk to those people? Why do I have to participate in this? Why do I have to share with that person? I hit 2 o'clock sometimes. And God looks at me. And he goes, with his love and mercy, Jason, just, I'll go find some more help. God, I don't want you to have to find more help. God, I want to step it up. God, I don't want to be idle. I don't want to drag on. I need some Holy Spirit caffeine in me. I need something to give me a boost. You know what it is for me? Yesterday's funeral was, the memorial service was really good. But I was blessed. One, they had the grandkids sing and worship. And my wife and I got to participate. And I got to see these younger kids. I can't believe I can say that now. Just worshiping and honoring the memory of their grandfather. And then we were overflowing. And we had a whole lot of work to do. And the people from Grace that were here to help set up, tear down, to clean. That blesses me because I get there at 2 o'clock. I mean, it's Saturday. It's my day off. Do I really want to be there? Yes and no. It's that struggle. And yet when I look to my left and my right, and I've got brothers and sisters who are like, all right, what can I do? How can we help? Oh, it just lifts my heart. It lifts my spirit. We are the first hours. We've heard the message we received. And sometimes when we're dragging, we need each other to encourage one another. Hey, let's get this done. I have an idea. Let's go do that. Let's go bless this person. Don't be idle. Okay, I'm not done dancing on your toes. Sometimes the thought is, well, if there's so much work to do, isn't that why we hire pastors? So they can do the work? Okay, take that thought and apply it to motherhood. Moms, what if I said, you know, I think it's your job to take care of the house and all the work. How would that go? That wouldn't be a good conversation, probably. Kids, you just play video games all day. Mom will take care of everything. Sure, maybe you're that kind of mom. That'd be great, okay? That'd be a wonderful mom. But they get to adulthood, and what happens? What, I can't play video games all the time? I got to do work? God didn't call pastors to take care of all the work. He called all of us. A pastor is kind of just a teacher and a trainer. One to show you how to hold the shovel or the sickle or how to gather in the harvest to teach and train. He's called us all to do the work. Well, I don't know how to preach, so I don't do anything. All right, that doesn't work. You don't have to preach. You can vacuum a carpet. You can bring in food donations. You can just love on someone. We don't all have to do the same thing, but we have to do something. So don't be idle because there is a ton of work. And the last point. It's never too late. I'm still breathing. Which means, I don't know if the next breath is coming, but I got one right now. Which means, right now, I can do something. I don't know if I have tomorrow, but I have right now, which means it's never too late. Tomorrow might be too late. Today's the day to make a decision. Today's the day to be in that marketplace when the landlord says, I'm looking for workers, and I go, yeah, that's me. What can I do? How can I help? Today is the day. It's not too late. Whether you've been at this for a while and you're dogging it in the fields, or maybe you've never, ever accepted, you're in this place, but maybe you've never received the truth, received the gospel, said, Jesus be Lord and Savior of my life, it's never too late. You draw breath. Today's the day to make that choice. Today's the day to become a first hour. Someone to say, I've heard the truth. I need a Savior. I've sinned. I've fallen short. Today I can do something. Today I can receive Christ. It's not too late. And for those that have received, it's not too late to do something. It's not too late to make a choice. I believe as a whole on earth, we are in the 11th hour. We are nearing the end. However long or short that may be, I believe, and the Bible tells us about signs. I'll give you a little sign about the end times. Forgive me. But if by chance the Vikings ever win the Super Bowl, say your prayers, okay? Because the end is coming. That is definitely the end, okay? So get things in order. So we're not at the end yet, but, you know, that's just a little side one. I can't quite find it in my Bible. I'm looking for it. I'm trying different versions, and I haven't seen it yet. But we are in the final days. And today's the day to make choices. In 2 days is a new year. And that's usually when we make our resolutions. That's usually when we say, yeah, I'm going to exercise this year. But today's the day. When it comes to the kingdom, to make a choice. Say, God, use me. God, put me to work. Because today is the day God has given you something. He's given you a wage. And let's talk about this wage. This penny represents, I believe, one thing. Eternity. God says, let me give you the gift that is greater than any other gift. It is eternal life. And if he holds it out and you say, I want to work for you, God, and you receive it, you have received a powerful gift. But here's a question. If this wage, this one thing that only represents eternity, was the only thing God ever gave you, would it be enough? Would it be enough? Or do you sit there and go, well, I've been doing this longer than him. I should get more than a penny. I tithe, I give, I've volunteered. God, I want more. God, why can't I have more? I deserve more. I've put my time in. What if this was the only thing we ever receive from God? Would it be enough? And if you can say yes, wow, you should be shouting that from the rooftop. Look what God gave me. He gave me life. What a powerful wage. What a powerful gift. But we come up with our excuses. God, I can't tell people about you. I'm still working on my kids. I need more help. God, I can't give to the church. I'm so far in debt. I need more money. God, I can't give up time to volunteer. Have you seen my schedule between my work and the home and fixing the car and getting my kids to school and to the sports? God, I need more time. God, bless me. Provide for me. Change me, fix me, give me more, God. If you can do that, If you can give me more than what this penny is, well then I can help out. Well then I can do something. But God has placed in your hand the most powerful gift ever. And sometimes we look at it and just with our eyes, you look at a penny and go, you know what? I can't stand pennies. Why do we still have pennies? You can't buy anything. You used to be able to get penny candy with it. I mean, it's just a penny. And it just takes up space, an extra weight in my pocket if you carry change at all. Our eyes look at this and go, it is worthless. And in our eyes, sometimes in the kingdom of heaven, we look at that gift that God gave us. The gift that he sent his son to die upon a cross for our sins. And we go, yeah, I put that somewhere. I think it's my other pair of pants. It's in another wallet. Yeah, I look at that from time to time. And God says, no, you don't see how valuable this is. God can give you more. God can bless you with more than just a penny. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Ooh, addition. I like addition. It's better than subtraction. God can add things to your life. Grace and mercy and blessing and favor and good health and good finances and energy. He can add that all to you. But when you look at that first thing and go, it's not enough. If you don't seek first the kingdom, you get up in the morning and the first thing you look at is, thank you, God, for letting me be your child. And God says, we got work to do today. I got an itinerary all set up. And anything I ask you to do, I'm going to provide for it. Anytime I've asked you to talk to someone, I'm going to give you the words. Anytime I say to someone, say to you, give to that person, they are in need, I'm going to provide for you. Anytime you feel tired and worn out, I'm going to give you energy. Anytime you lose focus, I'm going to give you something to focus upon. I'm going to add on to you. But if you look at my penny, if you look at the wage that I gave you and say, God, it's not enough. I can't work with that. Beyond this, by Christ dying, resurrecting, and living again, he gave us the Holy Spirit. Eternal life and the Spirit of God living within me. What more could you want? What more could you ask for? This is not insignificant. There is work to be done, and God is calling you, and God has given you something. Do not be idle. Do not twiddle your fingers, because there is work to be done. There are people that need to know the truth. And I think every day if we open up, wake up, and next to our phone or our alarm, you just put a penny there. It's just a penny. But you look at it and go, God, I trust. I trust you today, God, that you're going to provide. I trust you, God, you're going to give me opportunities. I trust you that you're going to make me feel fulfilled and with a purpose because I receive what you've given me. Let's pray. Father, there is no greater gift. Father, I thank you for the gifts that we are able to put under our tree for our kids and our family. And when they open them up and they light up and they're just filled with awe, Lord, I pray that we have that every day and every moment for this gift you've given us. Eternity. You've given us a Savior. You've given us hope. You've given us a purpose. Given us a place, you've given us a family, or you've given us there's a room in heaven with my name on it, and you're working on it. Father, I pray we can look at this gift and just rejoice and light up every time we think about it. God save me. God save me. Father, if we can truly believe that, we put you first, seek first your kingdom. Lord, I pray, Lord, that we will be able to be great first-hour workers, great third-hour workers, sixth-hour, ninth-hour, 11th-hour, and we look at our left and right, and we don't compare how much is he getting paid, how much work is he doing, why isn't he doing what I'm doing. Lord, we don't compare, but we look at each other and say, let's get this done. Let's work together. Lord, we need to encourage each other. We need to lift each other up. We need to bless one another. We need to carry one another, Lord, so that we can work in your fields, Lord, because the statistics are mind-boggling. Lord, even if there was one that did not know you, I would pray all the world would work together and focus on that one, to share the love that you've given us. So, Father, we thank you. We receive a gift. And maybe some of us today, it's the first day we first time we receive this gift. In our heart, we say, Father, I desire to work for you. In our heart, we say, Jesus, I accept you as my Lord. And we go into your kingdom and we work for you. So we receive today, and I pray that you just put us to work. Put us in the right places. Allow us to be a blessing to this community, to our family, to this state, to this nation. Lord, let us take up the call to go into all the world, making disciples, preaching. Pray this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this is a bit of a lead-in. Next week is a new year, and it'll be my first full year with you guys. And I believe God has put a vision in my heart of not really to change the direction of Grace, by no means. It was more of a, okay, God, tell me about Grace and tell me about this community. Tell me about these people. And there's a statement for the church. Jesus calls the church, his body on earth, to continue his mission to seek and save those who are lost. That's Grace Community Church, and I want that to continue, to seek and save those that are lost. But I believe God put in me kind of a vision statement, kind of a rallying cry of what he's gifted me to do, to bring. And I can see it in you. Again, I see people that are willing to serve and love and care. And so next week, I want to present that to you. And it's got four parts. And so the month of January, we're going to go through each of those four parts. So you get a glimpse of what I think God has put in my heart that I can put to you. And hopefully each one of us, we can kind of look at that vision statement and go, yeah, that's where I fit, and that's where I fit, and that's where I can work. And a part of it is, as our statement is, he calls the church to continue his mission, to go out, to disciple. I bring you a message here today of, hey guys, we got work to do. And I don't want that to be, ah, great, another one of those guys. Never happy, always making people do work. No, because I think there is a blessing and a purpose at the end of that. That when we say, hey, how can I help? God wants to bring blessings. That's what I want for each of you. And so I want to bring that to you guys next week and over the course of the month of January. So if you can get up in those cold days and make it here, I want to present what I think God has put in my heart. And let me tell you, 2018, it's a pretty awesome year. I started 2018 with no idea, no dream, no idea, plan that I'd be standing here with you guys today. God did. And I love it. I love being here. I love being with you guys. I love being part of this community and the community surrounding. I love this family. And I think God knows what 2019 is for you. But if I had sat there and said, no, God, I'm good with the work I'm doing, I might have missed out. And I don't want you to miss out. God has a great plan for you. He's got a relationship that he wants you to build. He's got a purpose. He's got a task. He's got a goal. He's got healing he wants to bring. 2019, let it be a great year. But today's the day. You're still drawing breath. Let's make choices. Let's make decisions. Let's make a pact with God. Today, I'm going to serve you. I'm going to work in your kingdom. I'm going to ask you to stand. I'm going to pray a prayer of benediction. And then we will be dismissed. Heavenly Father, I thank you for every heart and soul in this place. Lord, I thank you for their willingness to be here today. Lord, I pray, Lord, as we come to the close of one chapter and we start a new one, Father, that you just bring great chapters in everyone's life. Lord, that you bring your favor and your blessings. Lord, we thank you and praise you for the one gift you gave us. But Lord, we know that if we seek you and put you first, Lord, I pray these extra things will be added on. Lord, make our life a little more cheery. And so I pray for those, for everyone here. I pray for their health and their finances and their relationships. Lord, I pray for their purpose. I pray for their hearts and souls, Lord, that you heal the minds. You heal the broken hearts. Lord, I pray for no anxiety and no depression. Lord, we go into the new year with hope and joy and strength in our hearts. Bless them all, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen.